adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. Yeah. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. But forget about the Hippocratic Oath for just one moment. He's PO'd, this man. Drew got himself another moving violation today.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Drew's gotten a couple of tickets. And here's the deal with Drew. I know what the deal is with Drew. Drew has a plate that's two sizes smaller than what's on it.
Yes.
And it's a constant. Your guy doesn't say no to things. Your guy is very driven, who's very motivated, and that means you're literally on the run.
You're right, all the time. You're moving your ass.
You start your day 20 minutes in the hole, yeah, and you never make it up. Right. And the only way you can make it up is in between gigs.
The travel stuff.
Appointments, whatever.
And then I got a fast car that sort of calls me to that.
It beckons.
Beckons that, requires that.
Right. It's not, if you shift under $5,000, it doesn't feel like it feels like you wasted 60 of the 80 grand.
That's right.
You gotta peg that red line.
But
a
this had
bit.
Nothing to do with speeding.
Drew was driving. You were in Hollywood.
Hollywood on Franklin. Is it Franklin? It was downtown Hollywood. Going to Highland. And you know those little surface streets there you can maybe get up to and go around and maybe come down over on Highland or Franklin. It was just Franklin was stopped for blocks.
Franklin, I don't know what they were doing. It's right around Hollywood and Highland is where they do the Kimmel show. It's where they do the Ryan Seacrest show.
There's always a party going on.
And they'll close Hollywood Boulevard at the drop of a hat to premiere Shrek 5 or whatever's going on at the time. And you'll never know about it until you're in a parking lot known as Highland.
Right.
So
I turn left. I figure, what the hell? I got one of these map things in the car. It'll help me through. It's better just sitting here.
Right.
So I go up and I'm going down. It swings around and brings you back down to Franklin. And I thought, oh, hell, now I got to turn left. And as I'm turning left, I'm seeing no left turn between 4 and 7. I'm thinking, really? These people are going to prevent you from going through their neighborhood when there's a total shutdown of the city?
Right.
It's 4:15. Oh, Jesus. And it's a one-way street. And I saw it, and I thought, am I going to back up? I'm going to kill myself. I'd make the turn.
Right.
And then I see up ahead just a troop of cops just waiting. They just sit there and wait.
Ticket riding party.
Just waiting.
Yeah.
And I thought, and still I'm thinking, should I back up? I know I've done something kind of wrong, but no, I'll go on and explain to them that, you know, I'm lost. Oh, no.
No, you're getting a ticket.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, how much more does that slow things down, by the way, when they're pulling the car over and everyone's rubbernecking and they're using up a lane oftentimes?
Oh, I beg your pardon. There's nobody except people getting tickets. This is an empty road that they're just sitting on. Just everybody that comes on, it gets called over because no one's supposed to go up between 4 and 7.
Right.
So everyone that goes up gets a ticket.
Yeah. Here's what L.A.
And by the way, you have to know exactly what time it is.
And L.A. is basically, here's how L.A. works.
Chicken S.
Here's
Hollywood has joined Burbank.
Oh, no.
Yes.
And
by the way,
I don't know the name Burbank anymore. I only respond to Rape Bank because that's the official
Holly
name
rape
of Burbank
is joined
now.
Rape Bank.
Here's what goes on in Los Angeles and the Valley. There's zero public transportation. There was many years ago, but the oil companies and the tire companies and GM, they all conspired to get rid of all these rail systems we had in the 30s and 40s. They got rid of it all. They made everyone a slave to their automobile. Mm-hmm. And then they went in for the kill. Now they realize there's a huge population in Los Angeles that has no choice but to use their automobile to go everywhere. Every time with no alternatives, no public transportation alternatives, nothing viable. Mm-hmm. There's no way a guy with your schedule and your stops could do anything but have your own vehicle. 99% of Los Angelinos are this way, and now the cornholing party begins.
Oh, yeah. Multiple participants. You've got the DMV.
The DMVs.
They're going to do the cornhole.
The registration, everything from the registration to the licensing to the taxes.
Then every city gets involved.
To the gas. Oh, magically. Oh, gas. Most expensive of any city.
In Los Angeles.
In the
Shocking.
United States. Yeah. What a shock. They got you by the nutsack, and they just keep twisting it.
Yes.
And here's all I'm saying.
Well, why the police? Really?
Oh, well, hey, we don't have enough guys on the street to stop the crime.
By the way, we don't have enough. There's a troop of guys standing
enough.
There just parking people and handing out tickets.
Yes, that's the constant refrain from the mayor and the governor is always, we don't have enough officers on the street.
I want to go get a ticket and yell at the guy who gave me this ticket. It's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, and listen, we have plenty of officers. They're busy giving doctors chicken-ass tickets. And then there's meter maids. And these guys are criminals. And this whole town has turned into one just cluster F trying to get money off the backs of the motorists who have no other choice but to drive their vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, here's what I propose. Obviously, you pussies need money. Obviously.
Yes.
Although I do suspect it's just a self feeding machine.
They may be in cahoots with the insurance companies.
Whatever it is.
I'd rather just pay.
Here's the deal. Just have everyone cut you. It's going to cost $500 a month. A year. When you get your license, when you renew your registration, whatever it is. Here's $500
for the police.
It's FU money. It's hush money. It's leave me alone money. Here's your $500. Go ahead and bust gangbangers and let me drive.
For God's sake.
Let me drive. That's it. Just bring back the policeman's ball, would you?
I mean, can you imagine something like that in New York City?
Sell tickets. Don't give them. Oh, please.
Chicago. I mean,
here's what. On what plan?
It's
a cacophony of bizarre nationalities who are illegal and undocumented, who don't have proper license. Everyone's just driving. Everyone's scared, and no one says anything.
Attack may come here, and it may do the world a great favor.
I suspect it will. I suspect it will come to Los Angeles. And I'm always curious about the part where we announced that we heard something. As far as the terrorists.
That's because people are saying, why didn't you tell us before the 9/11? You never told us. You should have told us.
Drew, what are you going to do? Are you going to just, when you walk down the sidewalk, you're doing a serpentine fashion now?
Anytime I see a guy with a knapsack, I'm going to tackle them.
Smart. Yeah. You just start punching
them. Head spear them with my head.
Right. Headbutt, tackle them, and then pull the beanie babies
and
out of the knapsack.
I'm going to scream the name of this officer as I do all these things.
Yes.
Chicken S.
Of course. Of course. Of course. Listen, Los Angeles, please, and Burbank, of course.
Kill yourselves.
Stop raping your citizens on the road. Stop it. Have some dignity. Where's the dignity factor? You know, in other cities, they don't write jaywalking tickets. They have dignity. The officers look at themselves as guys who stop crime, not bus doctors who are going 8 miles an hour over the speed limit. It's chicken ass. Where's your dignity? Where is your dignity, Los Angeles officers? Where is it?
And it's not the LAPD. It's not the LAPD because I think those guys are fighting crime. It's all the other cities. People don't understand. LA is about 4,000 little cities, and each one has to get the hand in the cornholing pie.
Yes.
Yes.
They need their quota, and nothing worse than rape pay.
So if you're going through multiple cities, it's a liability each time you go in a new city.
Of course. And they have their sheriff department. Yes. It's a disaster.
Because it's not LAPD. Think about it. It's not LAPD. Yeah,
they do their share.
I'm sure they do.
Well, who gave you the ticket?
Hollywood. Is that LAPD?
Yeah. Oh. You got LAPD. Come on, buddy.
That's LAPD. They have their own.
Well, this is Hollywood, and then it's sheriff. There's a sheriff department, and it's LAPD.
Oh.
Same uniform, same cars, right?
Come on. Yeah.
You ask for the guy's badge number next time.
Sure, it's on the ticket. I'm going to go get it.
All right. Well, Drew, fight it. You might be able to
do it. I have time to do that.
Yeah, take a day off. Yeah. All right.
That's what kills me. And he's sort of dangling over me like, hey, this insurance form, it's not right. I'm driving that car without insurance. Are you?
I know.
And oh yeah, it'll just take you an afternoon to go in there and get it signed off. Take me an afternoon?
Just listen. Let me say something very clearly. Very clearly to anyone who's listening in law enforcement personnel and the sheriffs, the LAPD, Rape Bank, any of you guys. Here's who you work for. Us. And we don't want you doing the chicken ass stuff anymore. So get busy. Get down. Start busting gangbangers. Start checking containers coming in the L.A. port. Start doing all that good terrorist stuff. And stop with the chicken ass.
To protect.
Yes.
To protect.
And serve. Protect and serve. Yes. Serve your tickets. Stop. It's not. You guys, you don't work for the March of Dimes. You understand? It's not a fundraising competition. You want to sell tickets to policeman's ball? You want to sell candy? Fine. Do not rape the citizens. Stop ringing everyone who has to drive a car. And I'm pointing this toward the city officials, give us an option. Give us some public transportation. give us something. Give us an option to putting away the car so we don't have to get raped every time we get behind the wheel. All right, and have some dignity. All you guys that are cops now, I'm sure you grew up watching Beretta, Starsky and Hutch. You ever see them write a ticket? Is there ever an episode of Starsky and Hutch where they wrote a ticket for jaywalking? No! What about Mannix, Drew?
No!
Well, he was a PI, actually. Right. What about T.J. Hooker?
Never.
Did you ever see Shatner and Adrian Zmed writing a pedestrian violation? No. No. They didn't do it.
I did hear Heather Locklear do it once. But
once.
One time.
In between episodes where she poses, she had to go undercover as a stripper.
Yeah, yes, that was that.
A stripper, by the way, never took her top off. And everyone seemed okay with that. Okay. Any of those shows that you watched growing up that inspired you to become a peace officer? Did you ever see him handing out moving violations?
You know what you did do?
No.
I saw them educating, cajoling. Hey, could you watch out here? Were you aware of that?
That's right.
And make sure that you.
That's right, Drew.
Do
you know what he should have said? Look, I got bigger fish to fry than you, Doctor. But I'll tell you what. First off, what about a little greasing of the palm? I don't mind giving a guy $20 if I can keep driving. It's really going to save some time. Number one, at least bring that back. At least bring the bribe part back. Number two, how about he does you this one? Like, I'm going to let you off, but if you hear about any more people turning left between 4 and 7, I want you to call me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now you're like a rat out on the street.
Yeah, or I hope you
drop a dime on a motorist every once in a while.
I'm going to drive up and down that street every up and down, revving my engine all other hours in 4 and 7. In fact, I suggest everyone drive off Franklin and head on up into that neighborhood and honk your horn.
Oh, true.
I'm so angry.
Drew is angry.
This is how criminals become, see?
Yeah, this is what happens.
You're like a criminal.
Jesus Christ, Anderson.
All right, everybody.
Anderson,
you can feel the rage, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because because of a traffic ticket, I got thrown in jail all weekend, actually, so I understand your pain.
What?
It's a long story. I don't want to get into it, but, yeah, I was in L.A. County all weekend because of a traffic ticket.
Yeah, not last
you had heroin
week.
On you, though. It's different.
Yeah, you actually had a needle hang out of your arm.
Did you start giving the officer a lip?
No, it's just, I got it like a year ago. My lawyer sucked really badly, didn't tell me when I had to be in court, and I finally showed up and threw me in jail.
Warrants.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, and let me tell you this, by the way.
Oof.
And again, let me That's just bad, say huh? this, coppers and administrators. It's not a money-raising campaign. Stop raising money. Stop it. We'll give you money if you need money. Ask for more money, but stop raising it. Stop bilking the citizens of your fine city. As you know, when I got my car totaled out by some drunk driver, it was parked in front of my apartment. Went to the judge, went to the court, got awarded $4,000. Guy was supposed to send payments into the court. Never did. And I went in there and I said, hey, why don't you go after the guy? He's not paying. He owes me $4,000. What's their answer? Nothing we can do. Really? Nothing you can do. How about my buddy Ray? You tore him out of his mom's apartment, his underpants, because he owed you guys $10. How about that? You guys do that all the time. Uh-huh. Okay. Nothing you can do because they owe me money. When they owe you money, there's plenty you can do. Right. Well, imagine if they adopted that attitude toward people that owe them money. Oh, there's nothing we can do. Really? That's all you do is collect money. Why don't we give cops those change makers that the ice cream man wears? Stop it. Stop raising money. Sell money. Sell tickets to the policeman's ball if you need money. Go out and bust perps and have some goddamn dignity. Stop it.
Let me be clear.
Jesus Christ. And listen, everyone does this too. They go, well, it's not the guy on the street, you know, it's the captain back and the whatever. Let me tell you something else I learned from watching a lot of Starsky and Hutch and a lot of T.J. Hooker. Those guys never did what their captain said. The captain told them, I want you off this case. This is too personal for you. And what T.J. Hooker say? Yeah, don't worry about it. I got a score to settle. And he'd storm out of the thing. And then later, the guy'd yell, I'm going to lift your shield for that, Hooker. I got the mayor, the DA, and the city council crawling up my ass.
He played by his own rules.
But he played by his own rules. And listen, you guys don't have quotas, right? So don't write any tickets then.
All right, but let me be clear. Anderson, I'm not actually suggesting people who drive off Franklin. I'm kidding. That is... Be very clear.
No, but I'm saying that your anger is like, that's where it all starts.
That's
when the cops
happens.
Are against you, and then you go against the cops, and
that's
it's like,
right.
you feel
Next
the rage.
You know,
no, I didn't. I
you're
didn't
on
give
the,
any lip
you're on the roof of the studio with a hunting rifle.
It's just
yelling top of the world, Mom.
Yeah. By the way, I've never felt that way. Ever about police. Ever.
All right. Listen, we all respect you guys, but we'd respect you more if you didn't hand out the chicken-ass tickets all day long and you got to work. And by the way, leave the prostitutes alone, too. We don't care about them. I'm going to make a list one day. Look, I spoke to the citizens of this city. We don't care about the prostitution. We don't care about the guys gambling on football. And we don't care about the jaywalkers. Here's what we care about. Holdups at the 7-Eleven, gangbangers, and ATM. ATM holdups. That's what you go after. All right?
Body armor and banana clips, too, while you're at it.
Yeah. And by the way, if some guy tries to flee in his car, don't chase him around for 4.5 hours until he hopefully run out of gas. And by the way, I'm going to invent like a tanker truck that can pull up next to these guys and refill them, so we can keep these car chases going on in perpetuity. It would never end. They could circle the globe.
Great entertainment value.
Yeah, look, go, feel free to bump these guys and spin them around or throw the spike strip out. As a matter of fact, free rein on the guys. Hey, if you try to flee, do what you want to him. Put a few bullets in the back of his head. All right.
Here we go.
Jeremy?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
Oh, not much. How are you guys doing tonight?
Drew's fired up because he got a chicken-ass ticket.
Yeah, I'd say fight that. That's entrapment. Definite entrapment.
Oh. Ooh. Hey. I guarantee
that's the only legal word Jeremy knows.
Hey, it's a legal word that threatens in courts, and it works. Trust me.
All right.
They do it over here, too, in Wisconsin.
Yeah. And let me say this real quick, because I have beaten a ticket in my life. Here's what you win. First, you got to take a day off work to go down and sign up for your court date to beat the ticket. Sit around for that. Then they give you a court date, and you show up 3 weeks later, and you waste another day. And if all goes well and the stars align, which really means the cop doesn't show up because he's out riding other chicken-ass tickets, the judge says, you don't have to pay. You've now won. So there's a time for you getting pulled over and getting the ticket written for you.
Yep.
Then there's a time you actually have to show up, all in person, by the way, the time you have to show up and go register to fight the ticket. And then there's the third time you have to show up to spend half a day sitting in court next to junky degenerates to fight the ticket. And guess what? You win. You see what's between my thumb and forefinger?
You win
nothing. How about this? How about we get something from you? Hey, we won. You know, you made a way. You made a bet. They want you to pay $125 for this ticket or $150 or whatever it is. Fine. You win. Guess who owes you $150? How about that?
How about my time?
How about just the money they would have wanted you to pay?
Right.
Isn't that fair?
Yes.
You lost. Lost what? Lost nothing. Lost the opportunity to rape another citizen. Thank you. All right, Jeremy. I'm on a jag tonight.
I can tell.
All right. I don't like Jeremy. Let's talk to Karen. Drew's PO'd. Look out. And you know the beauty of me? And you know, I want you to listen to me, Drew, because you come in PO'd about something, I'm PO'd for you. I come in PO'd about something, you just sit back like a cigar store Indian with the arm folder. I don't know what he's talking about. You just sit there. Look at me.
You're scaring
me. I'm more angry than you are.
That's true.
About your ticket.
Yeah.
I don't even get tickets anymore.
Yeah, that makes me feel even better. Hey, the man show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, drive on.
Karen?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
My friend thinks that I'm a pathological flirt, and yesterday...
Right, Karen, why don't you attend to that child, please?
Okay.
No, it's the kid.
Please.
One.
No, that please. Put her on hold. She, the kid child needs his mom.
What's she a kid? Well, how old's the kid?
He'll be 3 in October.
He'll be 3 in October?
Yeah.
All right, it's old enough. Staying on his own 2 feet. What's he needs? You okay?
Yeah, he's fine.
All right.
What was he crying about?
He was watching Spider-Man, and a bad guy came on the TV.
Oh, okay.
And you're ignoring him.
No, it's just fine. She can't run in every time Octopussius comes on to the... What the hell's that octopus, man?
Yeah.
Dr. Octopus?
Right. Yeah.
Thought about that one.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the point. Shouldn't the kid be asleep, by the way? It's 10:20.
Yeah, but he took a long nap earlier. My sister was watching him, and she let him take a 2.5 hour long nap.
Oh, okay.
At about 5 o'clock, so...
Probably thought he'd just stop breathing. Okay, so he's going to stay up for a little while. Is his dad around?
No.
How dare you.
All right. Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Oh, good. Are you having sex with anybody?
not at the moment.
All right.
Not this actual second while we're speaking to her.
As soon as the phone hangs up.
I mean...
Other kids?
Do what?
Do you have any other children?
No.
All right. Can you please not get pregnant again?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. I'm working on it.
All right. So what's the question?
My friend thinks yesterday she got real mad at me, and she told me that I was a pathological flirt, and that I flirt with everybody all the time. Mm-hmm. And we have another friend. He's a guy friend of ours, and she has a crush on him, and she thinks that I flirt with him all the
time. Have you ever been raped?
No.
Were you ever sexually abused?
Yeah.
Okay. Who sexually abused you?
A man in Oklahoma where I used to live.
How old were you?
I was 16.
16, so you were raped, really.
Oh, that's rape, yeah. Nothing before that, though, huh?
No.
Oh, nothing when you were a kid? No weird touching or anything by somebody?
Yeah, just, he was a guy, I moved in with some friends of mine, and he was a guy that lived in the trailer outside.
Trailer.
Oh, that's always nice.
Right, anyway, let's look. Be that as it may, it's all those sorts of, let's call them pathological relations with men at a time when you were growing up that makes you sort of reenact those victimizer roles, or victimizing roles, mm-hmm. where you, without even being aware of it, sort of present yourself sexually to men, and then probably you're surprised when they kind of come on to you like a freight train. But that's that trauma, that you sort of reenact that over and over and over again. So why don't you listen to what the environment's telling you?
No, environments are a stupid friend.
Yeah, I know, but it fits for the fact that she would be doing that.
Hey, Karen?
Yeah.
What are you doing now? Are you able to work or go to school or anything?
Yeah, I work at a nursing home here in Porterville.
All right. All right, baby doll. Don't get pregnant. Stay away from junior college.
And then look carefully, look realistically at how you relate to men. Maybe you don't have to be that way. Maybe it'll be better if you're not.
All right.
I think I have disastrous relationships.
I'm sure.
We know you do.
Yeah.
That's the point. But part of it starts at the beginning there with the guys you attract.
Yeah. I really...
too.
Here's all I want to do in this show.
Talk about the police.
Besides kidding. Get pulled out of my car and beat, clubbed to death by the Burbank PD. All I would like to accomplish is, there's no way you guys aren't going to have horribly effed up relationships. You almost have to.
You guys?
You guys, meaning you people listening to this show.
Okay.
Here's the deal. If you had a good, normal childhood that had no sexual abuse, no physical abuse, you're still going to have crappy, effed up relationships.
You're going to have a tough enough time, yeah.
A tough enough time.
Yeah.
From 15 to 27, things are going to be most likely a mess.
Yeah.
Now, you start sprinkling in the abuse, the abandonment, sexual abuse, all that stuff, and now you have a disaster.
You just go from lame retard to victim.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's all I want. And so you're going to have a succession of those horrible relationships. Hopefully you get a little therapy, you work things out, and by the time you're in your later 20s, you settle down a little bit. Here's all I want. Don't spit out a bunch of kids along the way.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you got to do. Have your crazy relationships. Have your threesomes. Have your 4 a.m. beer-fueled fist fights with your mate out on the lawn of the apartment building or the trailer home, whichever it may be. Just don't have a kid standing there looking through the window crying.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a little break. Drew's going to kick the crap out of the vending machine out in the hall.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. Let's speak to Annie, who's 17. Annie?
Hello.
What's up, baby doll?
Well, I'm 17 years old. I've been dating this guy for 3 months. All of a sudden, he started to make comments about my breasts that make me really uncomfortable.
What's he saying? Is she gone?
And I want to know what I should...
That was everyone. I didn't hear anything either.
Okay. What is he saying?
Things like, you have the biggest boobs I've ever seen.
Is he saying that in a good way?
Well, he kind of smiles when he says it, like he's joking around.
Mm. Like he's demeaning you.
I'm sorry?
No, he's joking around, but he's meaning it, too.
Yeah. He's not demeaning her.
He's not demeaning her.
He also said some sexual things, too.
Like what?
I just want to bury my head in there. And
did she say this was her boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this your first boyfriend?
Get used to it, baby.
What boyfriends say sometimes.
That's what they do.
What's that?
Are you just saying that's how boyfriends are?
Those are terms of endearment for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what? Because it's important. What size are the boobs?
38D.
And how's the rest of you doing size wise?
I could stand to lose some weight.
Mm-hmm. Well, so he's accentuating the positive.
I guess you could say that.
He's focusing on...
I haven't thought of it that way, but...
Well, you got to look at it this way. I mean, let's be blunt here. The one good thing, or one of the only benefits that getting a big ass is a big set of jugs.
Okay.
And he's focusing on the positive part of the weight.
Okay.
And he's picking the part that you got that seems to be the best, and he's looking it straight in the eye and he's saying, how to do. He's introducing himself to your boobs.
How do you do?
How old is he?
He's 17.
All right. And have you guys had sex?
No.
No. Has he seen your boobs?
No.
Oh. Are you sure he's your boyfriend?
Well, yeah. I mean, we've talked about it.
About being boyfriend.
We've had the talk about girlfriend, boyfriend. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And are you a virgin?
Yeah.
Okay. Is everything okay?
Right now, as far as at home or...
Weird history, anything that...
My mom passed away when I was 9.
Yeesh. Is he
all
right from that?
That's the only hard thing in my past.
Are you okay from that?
I'm sorry?
Are you all right from that? Are you still having problems? Or?
I have a history of depression. I've struggled with it.
Mm-hmm. And you've never had a boyfriend?
No, this is my first boyfriend.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know. I have a lot of people tell me, like, oh, you should have a boyfriend, and you're so friendly and nice and things like that.
Yeah.
And I never felt that way, that a guy would like me.
Mm.
So I don't really pursue guys actively. So this guy kind of was pursuing me, so I kind of just went for it.
Well, you like him?
He's a chug man.
Yeah, I like him.
All right. Well, he's your age. You like him. You haven't had a boyfriend.
It's all good. You're coming out of your depression, right?
Yeah. Don't look for excuses. I mean, tell him, you can have that weird conversation where you go, hey, I find that disrespectful.
It demeans me. I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. On the other hand, if he's screwing around, leave him alone.
Okay.
All right. That's everyone. Look. I don't know where everyone gets this. I imagine having decent parents would do it. But I don't think I've ever told anyone in my life, like, hey, don't go there, or take that back, or don't talk about that.
Well, by the way, that's a very aggressive thing to do.
It is.
Profoundly aggressive.
What is?
To
have that talk with people about how you need to be spoken to.
Yeah, you'd bust the chops of your friend if they were doing something like, hey,
well, here's my normal thing. I hang around people that don't say hurtful things, and when they do, they do it in a kidding fashion.
They pee on you, they throw poo at you and stuff.
Smearing fecal matter in your ear in high school, throwing poo.
I beg your pardon. But again, you don't go. No, that you've offended my sense of. I can imagine.
Yes,
you offended my sensibilities. We need to talk about that.
Fire a shot back at them, and move ahead. And here's the thing: figure out why they're doing what they're doing. If you're with someone who's trying to be hurtful and put you down, don't talk to them. Don't hang out with them.
Exactly.
Why do you want to straighten somebody out? You know what I mean?
Who's supposed to be your friend? By the way, it's a hurtful, bad person. You shouldn't. That's not going to straighten them out.
On the other hand, if they're just making a passing comment and having a little good-natured fun and some ribbing, let it roll off you.
Or just, hey, cut out. Really bothers me.
Even that's weird. Christy?
Hi.
Ooh, 15.
Here we go.
More jello, please.
Is that her?
I don't No, but is that her? Is that you?
I don't think that's her, no.
Christy?
Are you gone, Christy?
No, yeah, she hung up. Wow. Great voice. Yeah. Christy. Great, yeah. Great Christy. Christy, hot name, by the way.
Oh, you like that?
Christy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Christy's a hot name. Yeah. And I like Christine, too. You know, my mom's name is Christine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Something about your mom you like.
Yeah. That's the thing. No, but that's kind of weird, because normally I'm not into my mom, you know.
Maybe all this is kind of a compensation.
No, but, you know, physically, I mean,
take line six.
Not my type. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, Drew's mom, totally different vibe over there. A couple of belts, tell you some stories about vaudeville. Have a good time. I don't know what the hell's going on line six. Drew, there's no call on line six.
Okay.
Theo?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
Hey, guys, first of all, I want to say I really like what you do. You do a great job, help a lot of people out.
Thanks, Theo.
All right. Well, my question is for Dr. Drew tonight. I'm 21. I've been with this girl for about 4 years, and everything's been pretty good with our relationship. It's just recently I've started feeling, like, really irritable around her, and I'm feeling like I kind of emotionally shut down when I come around her.
Right.
When we're apart, I'm at work and stuff. I miss her a lot. You know, I think about her, but
it's kind of work. Kind of work you do? What kind of work do you do now? What kind of work do you do?
I'm an interpreter.
Mm-hmm.
I work for the Oregon State Court. I'm a legal interpreter.
Huh. What a legal interpreter? I mean, but was Spanish your language?
Russian.
Wow, interesting.
How many Ruskies you got in there getting popped? Quite a few.
Oh, quite a bit.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're troublemakers over there.
Yeah, we got Portland, a huge community over here.
In Portland, of Russian-speaking, Russian-only-speaking American citizens?
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, you, immigrants and don't speak English.
Again, who are the terrorists going after when they go after America?
listen, this is a fruit salad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like blowing up a fruit salad, and you only want to get oranges, but you're getting everything.
Yeah.
I mean, listen. Here's all I got to say. Please, Terrace, if you're listening, you want to get blue-eyed white people. And if you blow up L.A., you get about four of them. And the rest, you're not even going to know what nationality they are.
Theo's probably, Portland.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just talking about Los Angeles especially, though. You're going to get more of your own, by the way.
Yeah.
You drop a dirty bomb in Los Angeles, you'll get more people from the Middle East than you would if you dropped it in Baghdad.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Probably true.
Thank you. So just let that. Now, Orange County, that's a different situation. Just a heads up to the terrorists. Got a lot of whiteys out there.
All right, Theo.
And that's your target, right? I mean, seriously, you blow up Los Angeles, you're going to get a bunch of gardeners who snuck under the border. And then a bunch of, like, Thai short order cooks and stuff. You're not going to get anybody. You want whitey. And you want whitey, you go to Orange County. That's all I'm saying, Drew. Or you hit a nice town like Arizona. You go to
Phoenix.
Go to Phoenix. Maybe is Flagstaff. Yeah, Flagstaff, nice, right? Now, where am I thinking of? What's a nice town in Arizona?
Damn, I know exactly. Outside of Tucson, you're talking about.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Yeah. All right, go ahead, Theo.
So, what's the question?
So basically, I just wanted to ask you how I can help myself get over that and start connecting with her again, or what do you
maybe,
think might be
Theo, causing this? You're 21. You've been with this girl since you're 17. Those relationships normally don't last a lifetime.
Ooh, yeah.
And it may just be you're kind of wrapping it up and kind of packing it in. And when you do emotionally, you of course grieve that. It's a real loss. It's a major part of your life. It's almost a fifth of your life was spent with this girl. And so when you think about actually leaving and being apart, of course, it really, you react to it, you recoil, you run back. But I think you're in a sort of a phase where the reality is you're kind of packing it in. And it's a very painful thing when you've been with somebody since you're an adolescent.
I see. So
I don't want to tell you to do that, but I suspect that's what's happening here.
Hey, do you like Yakov Smirnov?
Oh, you betcha.
Yeah, funny. Funny Russian guy.
Yeah, Theo talks just like him.
I'll bet he does. And no accent. Where'd you learn to speak Russian?
Well, I'm actually from there, and I've been living here for about 12 years now, so.
Wow.
That's why no accent.
It's got to be a cushy gig, that interpreter gig. I'd like to do that.
But this is a big Russian immigrant population in Portland. Interesting.
Right.
Yeah, there's about 150,000 altogether.
What attracts Russians to Portland?
I don't know. I think in conjunction with the big population, immigrant population in Vancouver, Washington, which is right over the Columbia here, I think a lot of people just come where their families are, you know?
And I guess, strange enough, it's a little like the sort of environment up in northern Russia, too.
A lot of those Reds get into trouble with the booze, right?
That's right.
A lot of DUIs and that
a
kind of stuff.
A lot of DUIs. You called it.
Yeah, because, listen, how are you supposed to tell people who've been driving, you know, well, first off, we're 0.08. Here's the whole thing about this country. We have rules.
This country is really thought of as a country with more laws than any other country, and laws that intrude in every aspect of our life.
We have billions of laws, everybody.
Other countries don't have that.
No. How are you supposed to tell some guy who for 50 years...
Since the advent of the automobile.
Since the advent... No, I just mean his own personal life.
Oh, he personally, yeah.
He's been living in Mother Russia for 50 years. He's driving around with a bottle of Smirnoff between his legs and no seatbelt on, doing God knows what to a hooker in the passenger seat, probably 13-year-old hooker, you know?
Oh, nice.
All of a sudden, well, that's how they do it. I'm not judging.
Okay. Yeah,
that's what they do.
Yeah. Don't judge.
You got
how
guys,
dare you?
First off, in
it's
Russia,
their culture.
By the way, 0.08, that don't mean S. Those guys are at 0.08 at lunch on a Tuesday.
When they drank on Monday.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The drinking went down a day and a half before.
Look, if you couldn't drive drunk in Russia, you couldn't. There'd be no. The highways would be empty.
Yeah, no cars.
There'd be no cars on the road.
No walking either, probably.
Yeah. So, and then these guys land here, and you tell them, listen, Ivan. Because that's, that's their names. No, Ivan.
Okay.
That's the name of the Russian guy.
Dmitry.
Yeah, Dmitry. Those two beers you drank, that's illegal. The guy's like, two beers? I was just cleansing my palate for the fifth of vodka I was about to drink. What are you talking about? I'm not drunk. Tell that guy not to get behind the wheel? Are you kidding me? All right. Let's take ourselves a little break, Drew.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. All right. We did a little research and... the places now, if you're listening, terrorists, if you want to blow up. And like I said, I don't want to break it up into a racial thing. You know that's not my style, Drew. That's not what I'm about. But you guys want Whitey.
So
let's face it. And I know you think I'm exaggerating when I'm saying, look, walk down a street in Los Angeles, see if you can find a guy who speaks good English. So, I mean, Drew, seriously.
Yeah.
Am I exaggerating?
No.
If you just drove through Hollywood or Los Angeles, stopped at a random gas station, went in and asked for directions.
And then just started walking.
Just talk to the guys behind the counter.
That's stacking
anywhere.
The deck. Just start walking down the street.
Okay, just start walking down the street.
Yeah, okay.
So that's my point.
Yeah.
You guys don't know this. You think Los Angeles is a bunch of blue-eyed Aryan types. No. There's nothing. And we got stuff you don't even want to. We don't even know what they are.
So we're thinking
we got Ethiopian, we got Filipino, we got everything but white.
So we're
me and Drew, only two white guys in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, terrorists, you want Whitey? You go Scottsdale, Arizona,
North County, San Diego.
San Diego's not. Yeah, that's good. It's a little close.
Oh, yeah.
I know I suggested Orange County earlier.
Oh yeah,
I'm off of that.
Mission Viejo.
Yeah, I don't need the winds could carry stuff. You go Prescott or Scottsdale, Arizona.
There you go.
Those are your. That's ground zero for you guys. All right. Sleepy towns. Here we got cops all over the place. Sure, they're writing tickets, but
and
we don't know.
There'd be a huge relief if you exploded something here.
Yeah, it would. There'd be more people would be happy about it. They really would.
Yeah.
You hit Prescott or Scottsdale. It's Arizona. It's nice. And by the way, it's good if you have any kind of sinus condition or anything. It's a good climate. Christy?
Hey.
Weren't we just talking to a 15-year-old on line one named Christy?
Different Christy, though.
On the same line.
Yeah, interesting.
What's up, baby doll? You're 18.
Yeah. I've been going off my boyfriend for about 2 years, and I told him that I wanted to be a stripper. And when we first got together, he's like, yeah, that's cool, you know?
Sure.
But lately, he's been telling me that I'm, like, really fat and all that. So I was just wondering why he's doing it.
That's what you call keeping him down.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't become a stripper.
Yeah. Steady diet of verbal abuse. Their self-esteem is lowered sufficiently so they want to take their
pants off. Why do you guys do that, though?
Because he gets jealous. He doesn't want you to be a stripper.
Huh.
Are you a Mormon?
No.
Okay. And 100% with that. How do you look in the nude?
I'm 5'7", and I weigh 135, so...
Yeah, you look good?
Yeah.
And what kind of stripping you want to do, topless or totally nude?
Totally nude.
Businessman's lunch. What's your grade and drop your letter?
Christy,
stage five, stage five. I love when the guy gets his. He's out there. He's barking like a carnival barker. He's trying to get money out of it. Hey, gentlemen, show me appreciate. I'm a little part of the money now. He's doing that, but in the midst of pimping and trying to get you to part with a couple of dollars, it's a little business to take care of the strip club too. Johanna, I'm going to need you to the champagne room. Champagne room. Fat Arab guys waiting for you. That's all you're going to hear, by the way.
Christy, yeah. that you don't really want to go down that path, do you? Or why do you? Maybe that's a better
question. I don't know.
You don't know, Drew. Yeah. And why, you know, the bottomless thing. And by the way, if you're doing the bottomless thing at 18, you're about 4 months away from porn.
I don't think I'd go that far because there's
Where do you get hooked on the booger sugar? You know what I'm saying? You can take that to the bank.
Yeah.
Thinking about Beretta a lot tonight, Drew. Yeah,
indeed.
Yeah. You get strung out on some coke. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you do anything for a bump.
Huh?
Yeah. All right.
That is truly a slippery slope. Adam and I generally don't believe in that whole concept of a slippery slope. But
no, but this is.
It's really more of a boundary that you crossed into a world and a behavior and realm of possibilities that there's nothing to hold you back from.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sort of acting something out here that you really are not aware of. There's something that's gripped the motivational systems in your brain that's causing you to be intrigued and find it necessary to do this.
You don't know all these big
words. I know.
Christy.
Yeah.
Do you love your boyfriend?
I used to. I don't know. I'm falling for girls more now.
Bisexual abuse, baby.
All right.
Right? All right. Forget it.
Huh?
Lesbian.
Any sexual abuse in your past?
I was raped when I was 14, and my dad, well, not my dad, but my mom's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, they got married, and then he made me do stuff with him a lot.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic.
What a delight. And
but that's a recipe for a stripper. You look in the recipe book, and by bringing a predator to the house, and this mom's recipe for stepdads. For stepdads.
Yes, one part pedophile.
One pedophile abuser.
Physical abuse. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's good.
Sexual abuse.
And when did your stepdad or mom's boyfriend start in on this stuff?
When I was about 7.
Fantastic. And did they get married, your mom and he?
They were married, and then my mom found out about it, and he's in prison now.
Oh, that's good.
Good.
God bless it.
That's great. Hope he's getting cornholed violently.
But he's left a legacy here in terms of how your brain functions. And
all right.
You need to fight against that, Christy.
How about some therapy?
I need therapy?
Yeah, you do.
Staying in the place of motivations created from that trauma is going to keep you stuck in this problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, we know the answers, but how bad does your radar antenna have to be bent as a mom to bring home the fella who thinks it's a good idea to hook up with your 7-year-old?
You have to have been sexually abused yourself.
Strangely enough. That's right. Hold on a second. Christy?
Yeah?
Did you ever get into your mom's sexual abuse?
No.
You never found out about that?
Uh-uh.
All right. Well, don't think about it.
Like, he told me that they have chores, like, she has to do chores for him, but...
No, but when she was a child, maybe somebody sexually abused her.
Oh, I don't know.
She never talked about that.
She get along with her dad?
Yeah.
She does.
And I just want to tell you guys are cool as hell. I listen to you every night.
Thanks, baby doll. I can't take too much praise. So. All right, therapy, and more therapy. The sexual abuse survivor, Drew.
Yes.
All right. And
by the way, her becoming a lesbian, not such a bad thing.
No, not really. Steve?
Yeah, what's up, boss?
You're 21. All right.
What's up?
21. You got a 17-year-old girlfriend who, used pre-sex spermicide foam spray?
Right. It's basically... She's been on the pill for 25 days.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Also, there's this, I saw it. It's like this little tube thing. It's like, probably 6 inches long, 5 inches long. it's white, and it has, like, it's two pieces, and she sprays the foam in there, and then puts it up there, and then...
That's not terribly effective, Steve. But the fact she's on the pill, you're in pretty good shape.
Okay, but my question is last night, I told her, I was like, you know what, I think that'd be kind of neat if, like, I went inside of you. I don't know if that was the right thing to say or not. And she's been on the pill 25
that's
days.
What they taught you at finishing school, yes?
Chivalry is not dead.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
Cyrano de Bergerac or the Velvety Tongue.
On the pill 25 days, and then she also put that foam stuff up there.
Yeah.
I would check a pregnancy test. I would still check a pregnancy test in about 2 weeks, but you should be fine.
I like that. I want to finish up in you. All right, then.
And let's go back to reading Shakespeare.
And then when I'm done, you know, now I could finish on you, but I like to finish in you. All right? Or possibly near you.
What do you think, honey? A Winter's Tale or Midsummer Night's Dream?
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. Let's hop back to the phones, Drew.
Yeah.
Alanis Morissette.
Possibly.
Tomorrow night. She's been in here before, right?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Not that long.
Mm-hmm.
She's good people.
Yeah.
I think she's good. She's a good performer.
Uh-huh.
Good songwriter.
I want to see that movie, The Lovely.
What's The Lovely?
It's about Cole Porter.
Oh.
And she's performing in it. I think it's where a lot of the... what she's up to now.
Yeah.
It's coming out in about a month, though.
I want to see that Day After Tomorrow movie.
Do you really?
Anything that has to do with big floods and meteors hitting the planet, I love it. When they show... And what they're able to do now with the you know, CGI stuff is incredible. But when they, you know, any first off, any stuff that has to do with high seas, I love. When they show, like, a tidal wave hitting the Statue of Liberty, I go nuts.
Yeah.
I love that. It doesn't beckon you?
A little bit, it does.
Like, to me...
man, we were reared on Earthquake and the Towering Inferno.
Yeah.
We cut our teeth on that.
Visually, there's nothing better than seeing... a storm at sea in a movie theater.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just 30-foot swells and, you know, waves breaking over the bow and that kind of stuff. It's always great.
Yeah.
And it was just that high seas thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kate?
Hello?
17?
Yes, I am. I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday you were talking about, well, you're talking to a woman and her mother died when she was younger. And you're talking about the psychological effects of that. Well, mine died when I was 7. Actually, the 10th anniversary was just last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been noticing just some things, some problems with relationships, and I was wondering if there's anything that I could do just to avoid being totally screwed up for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, we told the woman last night to get therapy, right? And that's what therapy's for.
Well, I actually had 2 counselors already, and one of them talked to my father more than she talked to me.
What? And are you in high school?
Yeah, I am.
Calling from Alaska?
Yes.
Where in Alaska?
Anchorage.
That seems to be about the only place people can live.
It's a big city.
Well, half the population lives in Anchorage.
Yeah.
So half the folks living in Alaska, and boy, you don't want to see the other half.
No, you don't. They're in the middle of
And half of the half that lives in Anchorage have planes.
Oh, really? Yeah. You got to get around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, patients drunken, rummy mushers.
Well, I mean, I already tried therapy twice.
Right, no, you didn't try it. You find somebody. The way you're going to overcome the problem connecting is by having a relationship that's therapeutic. And until you do that, it's not going to get better.
And that's the only way.
That is really, unless you want to kind of continue to struggle on your own, and there's going to be lots and lots of issues and lots of pain that way. People are.
Sure.
Go
ahead.
Was it just about luck of the draw that I found 2 really bad therapists, or what?
I suspect more that you're resistant to the process.
Well,
you may not intend to be, but you are. And you can make it work. What's that?
The first one talked to my father more than she talked to me.
I understand, but you're going to find something like that with every single one. That's called resistance.
Yes.
You're going to find a reason not to lack, a reason not to open up, because there's some very painful issues that you'd rather not get into.
Yeah. I'm just picturing, like... all right, here's your Alaskan therapist, Proud Bear. Nanacha. Yahe. Nanaka yaha. Dachacha nawaka. He's just like, he'd probably use an interpreter. They got a lot of Indians up there, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's all they are, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Drew, you be my interpreter. So I'm picturing a guy, like, sitting on the floor.
No. He'd be a guy with pelt. With a huge bear head with a big bear skin down his back.
Yeah,
and but giant rattles, a big dream catcher.
He's not on a sofa, though. He's on the floor.
You're on the floor. He's dancing around you.
Yeah.
You know the dance you do before Survivor? That's the dance. With a big bear on your head. How dare you?
Yeah, he's dancing around.
Desecrating the Native Americans.
Trying to get the spirits to come out. Just picturing what an Alaskan therapist is like.
Yeah.
He's probably got a guy who can translate.
At the very least, he'll have brains.
I'm thinking you translate. Katie?
Hmm?
Katie, I'm going to do a little translation for you. Mm. I'm going to be your Alaskan Indian therapist. Drew's my translator.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
it's not your fault that your mom died when you were nine.
But the problem with the entire thing is when she was dying, I didn't even know it. And apparently she told me that she was dying, but I don't even remember that. I couldn't
hear
that. You didn't want to hear it. You didn't want to hear it.
I know that. I know it was pretty much a defense mechanism, but I mean, one morning I woke up and I went downstairs and she wasn't there.
It
must be very painful.
Yeah, it sucked pretty badly. And the thing is, her grave is halfway across the world, so I can't exactly...
Why over there? Why halfway across the world?
She died in Europe. She died over there, because that's where we came from.
There's a chance to start a new life under the great spirit of Alaska. Like he said.
I love it.
But here's the deal. You've been carrying around this pain for 8 years. It's time.
Well, if I'm so resistant to therapy, is there any way that I can just fix that? Or?
Yeah, you can find... I beg your pardon. Oh, yeah, don't worry. I'm sorry. Yes, sir. Yeah, you need to find yourself potentially just a nice, intimate friendship. We could help you with this.
Okay.
Just being able to be close to somebody, if you're willing, if somebody's available in a real way to you.
Should it be a guy or a girl?
It doesn't
matter.
Adam Carolla.
It doesn't really matter, but there was this guy named Adam Carolla. Genius. Absolute genius. You should keep listening to him and whatever he says you should do. But it could be a boy or a girl, but girl probably, woman or female would probably be a little bit less confusing, cleaner in terms of motivation. But it's a lot likely, given how painful this has been for you, that you're going to be able to do this without therapy. It's time.
Well, I can't remember my "it's time" word. All right.
What? How dare you?
All right. See, Drew'd be. We moved to Alaska. I put on the ceremonial headdress,
the garb,
and the pelts, and you translate.
It's a good time.
Brian.
Yes.
You're 25.
Correct.
What's up?
First time listener as of tonight. First time caller, obviously.
Whatever.
Wow.
Never
heard the show before tonight?
No.
Hmm.
But you did a good job talking to a couple of young ladies that I've heard you talking to in the last half an hour, so thought I might call and give you this question.
All right.
All right. I got a problem with one of my girlfriends.
Hmm. One of your girlfriends?
Yeah, and it's really putting me down because I'm getting less nookie because of it.
But you understand, what do you mean one of your girlfriends?
I have more than one.
All right.
And you have a certain...
Brian's a jackal.
No kidding.
All right. He's calling from Reno. Most guys are idiots who live in Reno.
Yeah.
I was explaining that yesterday. Uh-huh. So be prepared for worse.
Oh, that's right. You said people run away to Nevada. Reno was worse.
I said Reno. Yeah. Maybe worse than Vegas.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, Brian.
She's been with this married guy for a while, and he's run off of his wife a couple times.
Run off with his wife?
No, run from his wife to her.
I see.
And she's looking at her about fourth time that he wants to move in with her and leave his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's a very good idea because I'm getting less play. And the fact that it's totally making her go out of her mind right now.
Well, it's never going to happen.
And B, you don't have a vote because you have multiple girlfriends.
Yeah. How many girlfriends do you have? And tell us about this one.
Three, hold on. Let me do the tonnage work here. Three girls. I can figure about 260, 275 per unit. That's about, about 740 pounds worth of broad I'm looking at. Yeah, Brian?
Yeah.
You have any kids?
None.
Good. That's my man. Keep what do you do? Way. What do you do for a living?
Masonry and tile.
Oh, really? You got a wet saw?
Excuse me?
You have a wet saw?
I have two.
Oh, two?
I have one for big jobs and one for small jobs.
One for doing like pavers, the other for doing like bathroom tile, right?
Pavers use a different type of wet saw.
Well,
you have a question for him, Adam?
You like thin set or mastic?
I use them both. Depends on the application.
That's right. And what size notch trowel? Like, let's say you're just putting some 4-inch bathroom tile in and you're using thin set.
4-inch bathroom tile, you want to go very close to the wall. You don't need much. You used a really worn out 3/8.
Oh, well, that's a little wider than I would have thought. All right. And what about the thin set? Do you just whip it up with a little water, or do you put any additive or anything in there?
You always use acrylic, especially using... well, it depends.
You always use acrylic, huh?
I always do because it creates a better bond. Even
nice.
If you're not using...
Let me say something about Brian. I wouldn't want him dating my daughter, but I would like him to do my bathroom.
Yeah, this
quality work.
I'm 25. I'm looking heavily...
All right. I'll set you up with Drew's girl. She's 11.
What kind of girls are these that you're dating?
At one point in my life, I was a male escort, so I like to play a lot.
Nice.
So, I hang around with her.
Well, I bet he works at male escort. And it, I mean, he gets pulled over by a cop. He probably works at in a conversation. I got a question about sanded ground. Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
What's non-sanded grout? What's the maximum joint?
The maximum joint on non-sanded grout?
Yeah.
You don't really want to go wide because it.
Yeah, wider than what? What do you think the max is?
I wouldn't go more than 3/8.
3/8. That's healthy.
That's a wide joint. That's
yeah, I would have thought. I would have thought more be like an eighth or
good half inch notch trowel. Well, I normally use a quarter inch. It depends on
boring
what the owner
bit.
Wants, really.
All right. All right.
They come
that's
in and they
right.
bet
what
it.
The owner
they
say
what they want. They want this joint. Right. Give them it.
All right. So, look, here's the thing. Here's my advice. Don't get anyone pregnant because that's going to screw you up.
These women are pure objects to you.
Yeah,
exploiting
they're
them.
Yeah.
Let them have a life, for God's sakes. They're like animals to you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like people love animals.
All right, then they're less than that to him.
They're
like some sort of
Siegfried Roy. They love those tigers.
It's more like his car or something. That's something
people love their cars.
You're right. It's not. It's just some convenience for him that he needs every day. It's like a vibrator or something.
He's got two tile saws, so I can have two women.
Yeah, he's got three women, but they're not allowed to do anything but serve him.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't think of them as anything but objects.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great situation.
All right. Not wet saws. A tiling. That's not bad. Okay, he's over there in Reno. What are we sure? Hey, Brian, what are you making an hour over there?
That's not negotiable.
You can't negotiate it, but what is it?
On a side job, I make around $35 an hour.
Really? Well, that's good money. And you'll do like you'll do the mortar bed and that kind of stuff too?
I'll do everything down to ceiling.
Really? And you don't do any hot mopping. You do?
Sure.
Oh, okay. All right.
You need
all
it right, done.
All right. No, that's cool.
Yeah, Brian's a can-do kind of guy.
I like this man. You know, doing a shower pan, you got to hot mop it. They usually, they use other things now, but you know, it's just be that tar. You get up there and mop.
Thing.
Yeah, they mop it. And then they put water in it, and the inspector sees if it stays there for a couple of days.
Wow.
Doesn't leak out. Because then once you put the tile down, that's it.
Mm.
That's where all those old houses, if you go into the shower, you see the bottom, the floor tile, and about five tiles up is different color.
Huh.
Because the pans go.
Ooh.
And they leak down. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, buddy.
None of you.
Yeah. Chris, any idea what I'm talking about? No. No. Why do you care?
Chris checked out an hour ago.
Mom will take care of that. You don't care. Place is going to burn down. He doesn't care.
He's still thinking about that stripper that called a while ago.
Yeah.
He was impressed by that call.
Alex?
Yeah.
You 26?
Uh-huh, yeah, hi.
And by the way, Brian is the reason why chicks don't trust guys and don't like guys.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What's up, baby?
Well, my boyfriend, we fight a lot, mm-hmm. and he always tells me that he's going to have sex with his ex-girlfriend nice. Whenever we fight.
I like that. I threaten to beat off and cry.
And
threaten? Just go right ahead and do it, don't you?
Well,
no, he doesn't do it, but it just kind of like bothers me. Like, I don't know if he, I mean, does he want to?
Okay. How old is he?
He's 28. Okay. And that they have a kid together.
He sounds like an ass. He sounds like an ass.
He really does sound like a jackass.
Yeah,
he's
but
a 28-year-old guy, a 28-year-old father.
Yeah.
Threatening to run back and have sex with the old lady, the old lady. And what's the matter with you? Something's up with you.
Why do you put up with that? Why would you be in a relationship with somebody that behaves like that?
Got that squeaky voice.
And I love him is not an option.
I think it's because my dad has always been kind of mean to me.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. What do you mean to you?
Well, just very like critical and like putting me down and.
Mm.
You got to keep it going with a guy just like Dad.
Hey, I don't like this guy.
Yeah,
at all.
So, but how do I like stop?
You dump him.
Realize when. Yes, for one of the things you can do is if you accidentally get involved with a guy, two things you can do. Don't go out with the guys you're super attracted to because people you're very attracted to are going to be this guy.
It's never going
to
work.
A. Yeah. B. Go with somebody that's moderately attractive to, and if he turns out to be like this guy, leave immediately.
Okay.
You've got to just not put up with this.
Okay, it's just weird. It's like a weird, like compulsion or like addiction. It's like
it's a compulsion.
And he knows it too, and he knows you're like a junkie, and he's holding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's he do for a living?
Right now he works for his uncle, like installing thermostats, stuff like that.
Right now.
Yeah, right now.
That's the worst.
Alex,
this is
a perfect opportunity for you to leave Orange County before Adam directs the terrorists to. something horrible there.
Alex, you're white, right?
Yes.
And what color's your boyfriend?
He's white.
Now, there you go. There you go. There you go, Al-Qaeda. Two whiteys over there. Go get them.
Yeah.
We got no such luck here in Los Angeles.
Right.
I mean, maybe you get Drew if he stopped getting a ticket or something, but that's going to be about it. All right, baby doll. Break up with this guy. I don't trust him.
Okay.
All right.
Sure,
and by the way, he's got, first off, he's got baggage. He's got a kid. I'm sure he's the world's crappiest dad.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, he's got a gig with his uncle installing thermostats.
Right now.
I mean, that's a Class A loser there.
Right.
And let me tell you, let me explain how things work, Drew. You having a crappy job at the ripe old age of 28 is bad enough. You using nepotism to get that crappy job means you'd be in the joint if it weren't for your uncle. I mean, that just means basically you just hit the gutter and slid and was nice enough
somebody
to have your
you.
Uncle grab you before you slid off the edge of the roof.
Yeah.
Thermostat for the uncle.
Yeah.
Got a kid threatening to go back and have sex with his old girlfriend. Just
And she knows he's abusing her. She knows it. It's not like she's not aware of it. She is.
Yeah, everybody. Dump everybody, would you please?
Yeah, but good times.
Have a good times. Melissa?
Hey.
You're 19?
Like you always say.
Huh?
Takes all kinds. Oh. Or, as my Indian therapist likes to say, Yahe, Yanacheka.
Good times, it takes all kinds.
That's right. See, I was wondering if you're going to get the cadence. Melissa?
Yeah.
What's up?
I found a hard, sore lump in my right breast, and I'm only 19, so I'm wondering like what it could be and if I need to get it checked out.
You do need to get it checked. Usually that's just fibrocystic breast. Those are normal things. They can be influenced possibly by caffeine, nicotine, that sort of thing, chocolates. Ooh. Oh, boy.
A little gas fly there.
But there can be other things, too. There can, of course, be tumors. That would be rare at your age. There can be infections, mastitis. You haven't been pregnant recently or anything like that?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So,
you get checked out, but don't freak out about it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting a little nervous about it.
No, they might want to do an ultrasound on it, but that'll be it.
Okay.
I betcha.
All right.
Being
on good times, right?
Good times. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Alex. San Diego. Shh, don't tell him.
Hello? Alex. I didn't direct the terrorists towards San Diego. I said Orange County, and then I revised that to Prescott in Scottsdale, Arizona. Yeah. What's happening, Alex?
What's up, dude? Long-time listener of your show.
Oh, that's good.
Thanks, buddy.
Good times. Takes all kinds.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Spirit, Mr. Wizard.
Long-time Hesher, too, by the way. He dropped the F-bomb, so we had to hang up on him.
Let's try to get him back, though.
No.
Come on.
The guy spit out the F-word. How long was it? Was he on the air, Drew?
20 seconds.
Now, go ahead and deduct 2 seconds for the time it took me to put him on hold. He got the F-bomb out about 17 seconds into the call. You understand?
That's true.
Am I boring you, Mr. Pinsky?
No.
Okay, well,
you
stop
never,
yawning.
Never, sir.
Stop
never,
yawning,
never.
Man. How dare you yawn? All right. People are screaming out in the hall. You want to take a break?
Yeah.
Freaks out and gets over emotional when he fights with his boyfriend.
Let's collect
boyfriend.
Some new calls.
New calls.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Theoretically, Alanis Morissette is going to be in here tomorrow.
More potentially.
Potentially. Sorry. Yes. And then Jenny McCarthy is going to be in here on Thursday. All right. You ready to rock here, Drew?
Yeah.
Girlfriend wants him to stop. All right. Alex? Huh. Alex? All right. Michael?
Uh-oh.
No, I think we're having some phone problems. All right. Well, hold on. Let's be fair to young Alex then. Alex?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up, dude?
What's happening, brother?
This is the dude that cussed, man.
Oh, it's the cussing guy?
Let's finish him up.
No. He's done. I didn't know it was the cussing guy. Drew, didn't I tell you we were punishing him?
We did.
Punished him by what? Putting him on hold for another 3 minutes?
That used to be the punishment.
He's an effing great caller. Let's put him on.
Come on, Drew. He dropped the F-bomb 10 seconds into the call.
That's fine. Thought he learned his
lesson. Such a puss. Learned his lesson. Secondly, he's been on hold less than almost anyone who's on the screen. Michael?
Hi.
You're 25?
I am.
Hey, buddy. What's happening?
Well, I'm a little bit concerned because, like, anytime there's, like, any sort of excitement at all, I have, like, a tremendous amount of pre-cum, and the more excited, the more it is, and it's, like, a lot. It's pretty gross and annoying.
Yeah. Drew is a man of exquisite passion and unbridled passion oftentimes.
Oh, really?
I would imagine
it leaks.
You can sympathize with
things
this man.
Things just pour out.
Cannot help it.
Cannot help it.
Cannot help. Cannot have.
What's
yeah.
That?
All right. Now, what can you do about this is the question.
What can I do to stop it exactly?
No, yeah. I'm not sure answers, much of anything. Maybe really Kegel exercises or something, but I really don't think much else.
The Kegel exercise means strengthen those muscles down there?
Yeah, but I'm not even sure that would really do much for this.
But there's not like a chance that I have any sort of STD or anything?
No. Well, no. If that's not pre-cum and that's merely discharge and you have burn when you urinate, yeah, that of course can be an infection, but that's not pre-cum.
There's no burn whatsoever, and it seems to only happen when there's some sort of excitement.
Yeah, all right.
So I'm okay? I'm safe?
Yeah, you're a passionate man. That's all right.
Well, it's gross, though.
I know, and it's
kind
of
use your condoms very carefully. I mean,
no,
very
but it's
judiciously.
Yeah, it's freaky when you're just trying to get the BJ and the chicks again.
And it, like, squirts out. Yes, it is freaky.
Squirts
I agree.
Squirts out?
Well, here's the thing.
Totally, yes.
Oh, it's squirt. It squirts out or sort of
like, leaks out?
Leaks out.
It leaks out, but when there's like if someone were to take it out of my underwear, it would like squirt just from touching it, basically.
Hold on. I got to make a mental note. Take Michael's pecker out of his underpants.
Okay.
All right, so...
Michael's very good-natured about this.
You got to have a sense of humor. Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
Okay. Shocking. Kegel exercises couldn't hurt. Drew, what about any of those medications that dry you up?
Yeah, I don't think
that's probably not going to work.
There are medicines that change the muscle tone down there of some of the sphincters, but that might have an influence. But I take a medication for something.
This is one of those. This is one of those things where everyone sort of chalks it up to it's like my sweaty forehead.
Yeah,
it's
like,
please, it's okay, it's healthy, so no one's going to mind. Tell that to the guy it's happening to. It really sucks. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
And I'm sure this is a distraction, at least, for Michael.
Yeah.
You know, he's with a woman, and they're becoming intimate. Yeah. It's getting to that place.
Disgusting.
They're on their fifth date. You know, all of a sudden, there's like a stain in his pants. There's dribble everywhere. I think, I'll tell you something that will work nicely on women, by the way. You just do that, hey, sorry, but obviously you turned me on.
Right. This is like, just more than I can handle.
You turn it into a compliment for the ladies.
And I imagine if you ejaculate beforehand, there'd be a little less of this. Just sure, on a sheer volume basis.
Number two, feel free to take a little TP and shove it down the UP. That's underpants.
Ah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably one word, right?
TP in the UP, it's all right.
It'll work. It still works. Put some TP in the UP.
Yeah.
And then give yourself a little dab of Rooney's, that thing's coming out. And again, work the, you're so beautiful.
The passion, yeah.
You know, not the passion.
That means, well, the passion for her.
Passion for her. And I think most women would really, really go along with that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk to Jimmy, who's 17. Jimmy?
Hello?
What's up?
Oh, hey, I have a question about, my drinking, when I drink, mm-hmm. my body gets red, like my face gets red.
Mm-hmm. Are you Asian?
Yeah, I am.
Asian.
There's something called the Asian flush.
Hold on a second. I got one of those playing Paigao poker.
Did you? You got Asian flush?
Yeah, I was over at the...
Is it Commerce?
I was at the Horseshoe. No, El Dorado.
Oh.
You're on the French Riviera. Hold on a second, Jimmy. Hold on. You're calling from Los Angeles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Asian guy?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Shocker.
Let me find something out here. Daryl?
Yeah.
You're calling from Kansas?
Yeah.
What's your nationality?
American.
White guy?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. See what I'm talking about, terrorists?
Yeah.
We got Jimmy's Los Angeles. He ain't getting whitey out here. Just putting it out there. Just putting it in. Nothing against the melting pot that is Los Angeles. I'm just saying, if your mission is to kill whitey, you've come to the wrong place.
Well, Jimmy, it's a really common thing that Asians get, and it actually was somewhat protective against alcoholism throughout the years.
It was?
Yeah, because it was hard to drink. People, they flush and they vomit is the other thing. They get sick.
Why?
They lack an enzyme that breaks down.
But, Drew, we're all the same.
You're judging now.
You can't judge.
Because everyone's exactly
the same. We're all exactly the same. So Asians, if Asians have this, then everyone has this.
It must be.
Or Asians don't have it. We're all the same, Drew. We can't judge. No one can be different.
Can
what are you
no
talking about?
No genetic differences.
There's
among
zero.
Ethnicities, of course.
Nothing.
Well, certainly not if it translates into some feature.
Right.
A feature like certain capabilities.
Right.
Or certain qualities when they drink.
Couldn't be.
Impossible.
Impossible.
Okay. So Asian flush, it's rather very common. And particularly in Japan, people have learned to drink past the flush, and the alcohol has become such an endemic part of the culture now. So now we're starting to see more alcoholism in Japan, interestingly. It's no longer protective because people drink past the flush.
Yeah. So maybe I'd just...
not drink.
Well, yeah. And you stick with opium because that's more... that's what your people were meant to ingest.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Booze, not your thing. Opium. Now, that's your thing. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Look, you're 17. You're not supposed to be drinking anyway.
Yeah, I know. But at parties, like, it comes up.
Yeah, well, there you go. You see you have a medical condition now.
How are you doing? Perfect. How you doing in school?
Pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, I'm about to graduate.
Where are you going to go to college?
Junior college.
Oh.
And then off to Irvine?
No, I'm going to become a nurse.
Oh, what? What? Junior college? Asian?
Yeah.
Parents are going to kill themselves.
No, my parents went to junior college and stuff.
What? What? Which Asian are you?
Filipino.
Oh, okay. Why didn't you say so? That's cool. Okay.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, buddy. All right, take care. And listen, you go to that junior college, you focus on nursing. That's all.
Okay.
And you get,
that's not really junior college, then.
Well, I want to see you sport. School. I want you to be sporting them white shoes in the next 18 months, right?
Yeah.
All right. And listen, male nurses with the white earth shoes. That's creepy. How about letting the male nurses just have a shred of dignity and put some high tops on? They got to wear those goofy white shoes, too? You know what I'm saying, Drew?
At least they don't have to wear the little origami hats.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's a good point. All right. Well, I was confused with the whole junior college Asian thing, but the Filipino, that straightened it out. And do they, yes, Drew. And do the Filipinos have the Asian flush thing, too?
I wasn't as aware of it from them, but it makes sense.
I wouldn't have thought of it.
But it's considered the Asian
makes
flush. So,
yeah. All right. Let's talk to... It's just an enzyme, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lack of an enzyme.
Jamie?
Hello?
You're 24?
Yes, I am.
All right.
My boyfriend and I have an incredible relationship. We get along really well most of the time. Mm-hmm. But when we fight, I tend to get incredibly over-emotional about it. Like, the fight will end if we're, like, at our prospective homes. We'll get off the phone, and I feel like I just overreact. Like, it's not personal. We're still okay. Everything's going to be okay. But in the moment, I get incredibly... I feel very destructive. I don't act out most of the time, but I feel
Hold on a second. So it's when you end a phone call that was unpleasant.
That was just an example. Okay. It's just when we fight, which is.
And what did you give us the example? Let's keep going down this phone call example.
Okay. Well,
what happened after you put the phone down?
Well, this particular instance, which was just tonight before I called. Nothing happened, which is actually why I called you to prevent myself from doing
something
anything.
Just happened in here.
A little fart gun.
What was your impulse to do?
Always funny.
What was your impulse?
No pop. Nothing at all.
What was your impulse?
I got nothing. I got nothing.
Well, there were lots of urges there, but I suppose the one.
Well,
that
what were they, Jamie? What were they?
Yeah, a little something, a little bit.
I want to do some damage to like
really?
To myself. And
you want to cut?
I'm sorry.
You want to cut?
That urge is there, but I haven't done that in about a year and a half.
All right, so you're
I've
a cutter.
Able to keep that one.
Right, Jamie. Look, Jamie. You can't talk in riddles and expect us to understand what's going on with you. Adam has his finger on the hold button. He is very impatient with people that don't answer questions directly.
That's right.
Here's the deal. You are a cutter. Cutting is a chronic state of affairs. It suggests severe emotional difficulties. It's something you have to get treatment for. And a typical circumstance when people feel like cutting is when they feel overwhelmed, when they have intense feelings and they can't regulate the intensity and the duration of feelings. And so they're reaching for some way to manage these feelings, and you have all these intense impulses to do these crazy things. Well, they're not crazy. They're just all your brain has and all you know to regulate. You've got to get treatment so you can overcome this and actually have internal regulatory systems so you don't feel so awful all the time.
Yeah. All right. Hey. Now you want to talk to Mike, who's 24 or 25, who's had over 200 partners. Why is it whenever we talk to a guy who's had a whole bunch of partners, he's always just a colossal jack-off?
Yeah.
And I'm always sorry I spoke to him.
All right, let's talk to you.
And it ends up being a commercial. It's like, I can't stop banging chicks.
Yeah.
And I would like to stop. I'd like to settle down. But, you know, women are really attracted to me, which is sort of the subtext of the whole thing. And the guy's always an idiot.
Yeah.
Do you think Mike's going
to
be that?
No, it's not Tia. Yes, I do.
Really?
Yeah, they're always that.
You're right now, I got to know. Mike?
Yeah, I appreciate the comment. Thanks. That's a nice comment, idiot.
Well, they usually are.
I'm not really an idiot, though. I've been kind of lucky and always been the lead guy with my buddy, so I'm usually the guy that gets lucky. I go out a lot, so.
Lucky 200 times?
Yeah, man. Been in some good situations, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've had two relationships for about a year and a half, 2 years that I've tried to keep as good as possible. I've been very loyal to both of them, but...
Mm-hmm. No fooling around on the two relationships.
Not either one of them. One of them, my first one cheated on me, and the second one we had, you know, she was very emotional. She had internal problems with her own self.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't handle being around her anymore.
All right.
So my question for you guys is... Hold on a second.
What?
She has, but he's describing women with some serious issues,
mm-hmm.
and think who would they be attracted to? Mm-hmm. What kind of guy would they be attracted to?
Lucky Mike, he's a lead man.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. What do you do?
She was bulimic.
Bulimic.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't me.
What do you do? Do you sell something?
I work with concerts.
I work with concerts.
Promoter.
Oh, okay.
That's selling.
Yeah, I'll tell you, guys who do sort of sales, essentially, do have a little advantage out there with the chicks. Is really you're just trying to sell your genitalia to them. You think about it. All right, so anyway, you've had sex with 200 women.
So what I'm actually asking you guys is...
Over 200, yeah.
I go out with a girl who I'm very attracted to, and I definitely would like to get no more, and I purposely try not to have sex with them, and I try not to do anything forward as far as sexually wise, and I just go out to a nice dinner and do the whole deal, and they usually give me a kiss goodbye and not even me trying to give them a kiss, and they never call me again. Am I not trying hard enough?
Well, hold on a second. Is there someone specifically you're speaking about, or just this is something that happens over and over again?
But the sixth time. Now, when I date an older woman, you know, like in her 30s, 32, 33, it usually turns different. They usually get, are stuck to me. I have to kind of release them. But when I try to date a girl my own age, I'm trying to stay.
What do you mean they never call you? Why don't you call them?
Well, it's not. No. I call them, but they never call me back.
Hold on. You go out with the girl. She's agreed to go out with you.
Mm-hmm.
You go out on a date. She knows it's a date. You go out and you have a nice dinner. Maybe you see a movie. At the end of the night, she gives you a kiss. And then when you call her back, she doesn't want to talk. She doesn't want to go out again.
Well, she just never calls me back. It's about the fourth time.
You leave a message on her machine or something.
Yeah, I mean, I call the max I'll call is twice because you don't ever want to, women today think that, you're harassing them now.
All right. Now, hold on a second. Let me talk to Drew. What's the part where they give him a kiss? That seems, look, here's the deal. When you go out with a chick, she knows about, let's just say 20 minutes into the date if she's going out on a second date with you.
Yeah.
And what she'll do is she'll hang with it through the meal.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to do? You picked her up. What you won't do is go out after the meal. All right, let's work this out, Drew.
Yeah, I think I've got it.
I don't care about Mike. I'm talking in general now.
I think I see it.
If you're going out, well, hold it.
Okay.
Hold it to yourself.
All right.
Forever.
Not a chick.
There you go. All right. If you're going out with a chick, she will decide by the time you put her in the car, back out of the driveway, and start down the street, whether she's pretty much into the second date or not, unless you really screw up, get drunk, during dinner. Now, here's how you know if you're going on a second date or not. It's not by what she says. It's by what you do after you do whatever your initial thing is. If you go out and eat dinner, and then you say, hey, it's a nice night. How about we take a walk on the beach or we get a bottle of wine and we go up to the... Yeah, if they go, I got an early morning, there's not going to be a second date.
Right. And by the way, that girl is taking control of the situation. She will also, lest you lay a sloppy one on, when it comes time to say goodnight, she'll grab you and go... And run off.
Right.
That's because, the key, because she doesn't want to get in any kind of makeout sessions.
Very good point, Drew. She will initiate a kiss, but it will be on her terms.
Her terms.
She'll get a quick one that she gives her grandpa rather than have to deal with that sloppy tongue of yours. Mm-hmm. All right. And there'll be talk about the second date. Oh, no, great. No, fine. No, I got an early morning. Call me. Anything just to get home. Quick kiss, she initiates, no second date. That's how that goes. Now, why Mike, who's been able to get over 200 women in the sack, is having trouble with women that already agreed to go out with him.
No, he's having trouble with some women, not all of them, it's six times.
Yeah.
And he's trying to have a relationship with the kind of women he's supposed to be with. He's a perfect gentleman. I wouldn't dare anything sexual with them.
Mm-hmm.
They see through him. They see through him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They're a little too smart.
Yeah.
All right. Take a... maybe we'll get back with Mike. I bet he gets late during the commercial break. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah! Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's my part over there. Doc Drew. Hey, good to see you, buddy. Looking good today. 7:22 after 7 o'clock. I got traffic weather coming up. What is it? It's a twofer. What day is it? We hump day yet?
Hump day. Twofer.
When are we in September? Yeah. What month are we in? September?
September.
It's not October yet? You know, it's great. It's great when you travel. and you hear you're driving through Colorado. It's like, hey, we got a two for Tuesday. Two for Tuesday, that's ours. Radio has like a six lame ideas and ideas that should have been squashed immediately. Like, hey, how about Rocktober? How about you kill yourself, Bert? How about you're fired? How about September? How about no severance pay now? Get the F out of here. These are the kind of ideas where the people that floated them should have been punched.
Instead,
they're spread all
around. The
radio
dynasty.
Yeah, like some really crappy, like a bad franchise that's made it all over the country. The world's crappiest burgers, and somehow they're in every city. Hey, we got a hump day. It's Wednesday coming up. We got Superset coming up. We got Rocktober and a Led Zeppelin coming up. It's two for Tuesday, everybody. That's what radio is. It's horrible ideas being driven into the ground.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to rock here, Drew?
Yeah, it's Rocktober.
Oh, Drew was just saying during the break he wants to go to that California amusement center park there, the Disneyland.
The Tower. I want to go to the Tower of Terror.
No. I don't want to do that Tower
we
of Terror.
We went to the one in Florida. It's fantastic.
I did that one in Florida.
Yeah.
I don't go for that.
You don't like the fall.
I don't like being dropped.
You don't like the negative. They pull you now. It's not just dropping. I think they're accelerating you.
Are they accelerating you?
I think they are, yeah. That's why it's so uncomfortable.
Well, dropping's bad enough.
Yeah.
I mean, Magic Mountain has the one that just drops.
Yeah.
Oh, I almost S myself on that one because, you know, I'll tell you the worst part about the free fall one at Magic Mountain. What is it called? Is it just free fall? You go up, it's, I don't know, realistically, it's 11 stories, maybe 12 stories. Yeah. High enough, by the way.
Yeah.
And you're in a rat cage, essentially, just climbs up to your own little elevator, pushes you out on the end. And once it pushes you out, it's just like,
yeah.
You see hawks soaring by and stuff.
Yeah,
and there's
weird,
a moment of bizarre serenity.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes it like a click, and you sit there for like one Mississippi.
Yeah.
And then pop, you hear a pow, and you just drop, and you have a visceral reaction. You can't help it. You just scream.
You nearly urinate yourself.
I did it. I was with my Catholic little brother back way back in the day, Nate, and they would send you. It was two for day. You did two for Tuesday. Everything. You do everything twice. Huh. That's right. It wasn't crowded. So now when I went out there, they had a problem. So they slid us out to the end, and it was that part where it's like, okay, one thousand. When I get to three Mississippi, they're going to drop. No, they stopped it. Because the person down at the bottom was in their cart, stopped.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, I was just sitting there going, they're going to drop this. I'm going to sliding down at 200 miles an hour and ram right into this person that's underneath me.
Wow.
And so I was just sort of sitting there, not, you know, in the prone position, waiting to get dropped. But the person was underneath us, and I'm sure they had it under control. But how about getting on the bullhorn there? You know what I mean? Because they're trying to get the guy moving because if they dropped us, we'd have just collided into him. Yeah.
So now you've had a post-traumatic stress reaction. You can't do any of these. But the ride up
like being dropped.
The ride up
like
until
the
drop is very cool, you know?
I don't like being... Okay, the ride up until, but the drop part, I don't like.
Yeah.
All right. And I don't think it's necessary to pull you down, and I don't think they really even attempt
negative
to pull
G's.
You. Just dropping you is...
Yeah.
That's enough. All right. So, Drew, you'll not be doing that. Tower of Terror. It's got the word terror right in it. Tia?
Yeah?
All right. And, what do you know? Our stud that's slept with over 200 women is hung up.
Whatever.
What's up, baby doll?
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have three nipples, and I just had a baby, like, 3 months ago.
Fantastic.
And, like, there's milk coming out of all three of them.
Wow.
That's very efficient.
Yeah. And it's... I don't know. Like, I've always been depressed because of it, you know, because I'm not normal. Or I don't feel normal because of it.
It's down below the one of them?
It's right on the side of my right one.
On the side?
So.
Let's try again because it is one of our callers.
Huh?
It's to the right side or the left side?
It's on the right side, like right next to where the normal one is supposed to be.
So it's almost like a split nipple, kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if it was. If it can be harmful or something.
No.
Yeah.
No?
Good times.
Yeah.
And I want it removed, but...
Plumbing's hooked up.
Yeah, it sounds like it's just you have sort of the split nipple there. It's not really an extra nipple. It's just...
No, it is an extra one, though. Like, there's a normal one, and then there's one, like, right next to it.
Yeah, it's like, really kind of part of the same one, is that the point?
Yeah, kind
of. Yeah. So it's just one of them things.
Well, good times, though. And you're 18. You already got a kid, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Are you married?
No. My boyfriend or the baby's dad is in prison.
Takes all. Yeah. What's he in prison for?
Attempted murder.
Oh, boy.
Who did he attempt to murder? Oh, I'm wrong. Fantastic. Kid's going to be president. All right. All right. No more kids, right?
Are you a Mormon?
I'm not. I hate Mormons.
Oh. All right. Okay. All right. I rarely say this, but
she needs to become a Mormon.
Yeah, become a Mormon. Become one, yeah. All right. Yes. Good times. Ah, the kids.
Yeah.
Kid's going to win the Nobel Peace Prize.
I hope she dedicates herself to him.
Please. No more pregnancies. Take care of that kid.
Here we go.
All right. We'll be back. Hey, everybody, there you go. What's the matter, Drew?
No, nothing.
All right. Don't get defensive, dude.
No, dude.
Okay, fine. Guy. You okay, brother? Hey, are we cool?
Not a chair.
Yeah, hey?
No.
All right.
Yes, we are cool. We are very cool.
Okay. Alanis Morissette, possibly.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night. So, until next time. This is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.